Message three, living in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine species. Excuse me, just got to clear my throat from phlegm. Living in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine species. And this word species here is very important in this particular message. And I don't remember very much what I learned in biology a long, long time ago. So, in a quick way, I looked up the dictionary definition of species. And what I would say is this: it's a category of living beings that have similar characteristics or attributes and are able to go by the same name. And so with animals, there are different kinds of species, I think. And we human beings are just one kind of human species. And God himself, as a living person, a living being, is a species all by himself. The angels created by God are spirits, but they're not of the divine species. They do not have the characteristics of God. And the human beings God created in his image, in his likeness, but in that state of creation, we're not of the divine species. We have been created to be human species. When we were born of God, that is, regenerated, we entered into the kingdom of God. We'll see this in reading some verses. And we're in a realm. The kingdom of God is a realm, as we saw before, of light, of love, of life. And now we see we're in a realm of the divine species. And in a particular way, not in an absolute way, we are of the same species as God our Father. And to use a very simple and basic illustration, when my wife and I, decades ago, had children, a daughter, then a son, and then another son, obviously, they were born of the same species as their parents, the same life, the same human nature, the same basic characteristics. Now we need to see, when we have been begotten of God, born of God, and thereby become children of God, and God is our Father, we are the same as God in many, many ways. God is self-existing. We are not. God himself is eternal. We are not. God is omnipresent. Of course, we are not. These are attributes of the Godhead. But it's a fact, we have been born of God. And just as children of human parents have the same life and nature as their parents, we, the children of God, have the life of God, the nature of God, many other attributes of God, but there's a limit. We will never be part of the Godhead. We will never be an object of worship. And in 1 John, that epistle, the Apostle John emphasizes repeatedly the word begotten, begotten of God. So this means that by regeneration, our second birth, we are now of the divine species. In a certain sense, we are in the same category as God our Father. We have many of the same attributes. He has eternal life. We have eternal life. He has the divine nature. We partake of the divine nature. So we are species, by creation, human species, by regeneration, divine species. And now we come to the central point in this opening portion of the message. There is a realm in which the divine species live. And the kingdom of God is such a realm. There are many aspects of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a realm where God rules with authority. He's reigning over us. Then we saw the kingdom of God is a realm of love and light and life. It's such a delightful realm to be in. Now we need to see another aspect of the same kingdom of God, and that is it's the realm of the divine species. And the divine species, to repeat, are first of all God Himself, then all those begotten, born of God, are the same as God in certain ways, in life, in nature, and other ways. So we are of the divine species. As we live on earth in this age, again and again, we are interacting with other human beings. We need to realize that we are of a different species from those who do not believe in the Lord, who have not been born of God. We are the same human species, but we are also another species, divine, which makes us divine human species. And now we will read some verses to be refreshed, to have these very well-known verses set before us again, that we can come in simplicity and poor in spirit to the Word and contact spirit and life in the presence of Christ as the living word. And then we will enter into the first section of the outline to understand what this realm is like, because we need to become acquainted with it. To illustrate again something obvious, when an infant is born, maybe in a hospital, maybe just at home, the parents know this dear infant of ours, this little girl, this little boy, he's in the same realm as we are. And they're part of a family unit in the realm called family. But that infant is not able yet to be aware of this, to realize this, to understand this, and in a limited way, this may help us realize that when we experienced regeneration, probably none of us immediately had the sense, I'm in another realm. I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm in the household of God. And many of us were not regenerated in the context of the genuine church life in the Lord's recovery. So many of us were in some kind of religious institution, organization, denomination. And so we're not in an atmosphere where we could understand what happened to us. I experienced regeneration when I was 15, almost 16. It was not until I was 27 plus that I began to understand what happened to me and where I am. So as we ourselves personally are advancing in truth and life and experience, we need to press on. But in caring for others in a shepherding way, we need to learn how to guide them step by step so they begin to realize you're in the realm, you're in the kingdom of God as a realm of life. And you've been born of God. You're in the realm of the divine species. And we're somewhat like a child growing in life and realizing, and I hope that's the first word uttered, mommy, mommy, daddy, I'm not alone. And who are these other people who are not big like daddy or mommy? And we find out that that's your brother, that's your sister. And so in this message, we simply want to take a step. And the Lord's Spirit knows where each one of us is, and the kind of enlightenment and guidance each one of us needs. And that's the responsibility of the Spirit of reality guiding us into all reality. Now the verses. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So a person who has not yet been born of God, he can't see, spiritually speaking, the kingdom of God. He just can't grasp the thought. What do you mean? But when we were born anew, born of God, in our spirit, we're able to see where we are. We may not know what to call it. That's why we need shepherding and teaching, like in a family. Not just teaching in the schools, but parents teaching as mother and father to realize where we are. Then verses 5 and 6, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." The water here refers to baptism. It's not the baptism itself that regenerates us, but in baptism, we are on one side experiencing the application to us of Christ's death on the cross, by which he dealt with fallen humanity and the old creation. And we have been born of the Spirit. Now we can enter into the kingdom of God. Just a brief comment on baptism. Baptism is part of the entry, because you have to leave a realm behind. You are being transferred. You're into the realm of God himself. You're being baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we thank the Lord. There may be some exceptions here because of some newer ones who are hearing some of these things for the first time. So many of us, hundreds of us, can testify we have entered into the kingdom of God. We have been born of God. We see the kingdom of God with spiritual insight. We have been born of water and of the Spirit. We have entered into the kingdom of God. And here we are. And then we go on to chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my attendants would be struggling so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." So he's referring to the kingdom of God as a realm of life. I love these two words, "my kingdom." He called it my kingdom. And when we use this word, "my," this is my smartphone. That means it belongs to you. But there's another meaning that I think is more applicable here. It's like we say, the church is my home. Or the Lord's recovery is my blessing from God. It doesn't mean I possess it. It means I'm part of it. I'm in it in a wonderful way. This is my kingdom. It doesn't belong to me, but it's where I live. It's what I am. Of course, the Lord Jesus could say both. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He himself is the reality of the kingdom. And so we are talking about something not of the human realm, of the world, of something in the old creation. This is another dimension. Then, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, and this him refers to God in Christ as the Word of God, incarnated with life and light. And he is, you see the context, he is the true light. And those who receive the Lord as the true light with life, to them he gave the authority to become children of God. So we have received the Lord by believing him. And we have received the divine life and light in us. Then God the Father gives us the authority to become children of God. To those who believe into his name. And the name denotes the person. And we don't simply believe in, we believe into, that is, into a union, a realm. We are in this person. We have believed our way into the name of the Lord, into his person. And then you have the word begotten in verse 13, who were begotten not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let me read it this way. Who were begotten of God. Still today in Europe, in certain countries, perhaps the Netherlands might be one, where Reformed theology, otherwise called Calvinism, is quite prevailing. And one of their historical theologians, highly regarded, he wrote a book on his concept of regeneration. And among that one and all the Calvinists, they don't know what regeneration is. It's a rebirth. We have been generated by God the Spirit. We have been born of God. And so also these Calvinist theologians say, God has adopted us. This is how they understand, wrongly, a Greek word used for sonship. They say that's adoption. Well, the firstborn in my family was my daughter, Rebecca. I did not adopt her. When parents give birth to a child, they don't adopt the child. You adopt someone legally who has been born through others. We are not God's adopted children. We were begotten of God. We are children of God. It's so clear. When we say we are children of God, and we combine that with the verses in John 3:3, 5, and 6, how do we become children of God? We were begotten of God. We were born of the Spirit in our spirit. And the reason we had to be regenerated, this may shock some, is not primarily because we were sinners and needed redemption, which is true. It's we do not have the life of God. We are human children. We are not the children of God until we are born of Him. I think that is sufficient for the scripture reading. Now, Romans 1. The kingdom of God is a realm, not only of the divine dominion, but also of the divine species, in which are all the divine things. So here we have divine dominion, divine species, divine things. So because we've been born of God, we are of God's species. He truly is our Father. The Lord spoke that to Mary in John 20. I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You are my brothers. Because according to 1 Peter 1:3, in the eyes of God, we were all regenerated when Christ was resurrected. Now we need to see that the kingdom of God is a realm of the divine species. And in this realm, and with these divine species, there are all the divine things. And we'll see when we read through the points in section 2, what unsearchable riches, immeasurable. We're just surrounded, we're enveloped by divine things. Oh, God's peace, His mercy, His wisdom, His grace, His love, His forbearance. It's in the atmosphere. It's everywhere. We're in the divine kingdom, the realm of the divine species. We are of the divine species by regeneration. And now we have access to all the divine things, all the attributes of God that He can share with us are ours to experience and enjoy. Some attributes cannot be shared. We will never be omnipresent everywhere at the same time. We will never be omniscient, knowing all things. That's God in the Godhead. A, in John 3, the kingdom of God refers more to the species of God than to the reign of God. Of course, the kingdom of God is the reign of God, but here the emphasis is on the species of God. So this needs to become our emphasis. B, God became man to enter into the human species. He became a man. The Word became flesh. That's humanity. He was the Son of Man. He was a human being. He entered into the human species, and then man becomes God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead, to enter into his divine species. How marvelous, through incarnation. Through incarnation, God became a man. He entered the realm of human species. Then in the Lord's resurrection, he was designated the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, becoming the firstborn Son of God with both divinity and humanity. And when we are regenerated, born of God, we become God, that is, we become divine in life and nature. But of course, not in the Godhead. And we enter into the divine species. So I look to the Lord to enlighten us, that we will see in our spirit where we are, inwardly, intrinsically, that we're not just human species, participants of the human species on the earth, but we have been born of God to become the divine species in this realm. And I cannot get into this now, but the Lord will train us to live in both realms simultaneously, at the same time. We're living a normal human life according to our age, according to stage, according to our responsibilities and needs, but at the same time, inwardly, we're living in another realm, the realm of the divine species. Okay, C, in order to enter into the divine realm, the realm of the divine species, we need to be born of God to have the life, to have the divine life, and the divine nature. We enter this realm by birth, born of God. Let's just dwell on this phrase a little bit. Isn't this amazing? Born of God. What could be more amazing and miraculous than for human beings to be born of God in their spirit? We should just inwardly rejoice and praise our God. I have been born of God. I'm a child of God. God is my Father. I believe Romans 8:16. The Spirit of God witnesses, testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Lord wants us to know this, to realize this. We are children of God. We have been born of God. We are in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine species. I can't imagine anything being more amazing than this, for human beings to be born again, born from above, born anew, born of the Spirit in their spirit, to be begotten of God and thereby become children of God. One, God created man not after man's kind, but in his image and according to his likeness, to be God's kind, God's species. So all the other living things, especially the animals, were told in Genesis, they were according to their own kind. But God created man according to his kind. In what way are we his kind? Well, we were created in this image and according to his likeness in order to be God's kind and eventually become God's species. The human beings created by God are not God's species simply in creation. They're born with the capacity to become of God's species through being reborn, born again. To the believers who are born of God by regeneration to be his children in his life and nature, but not in the Godhead, are more in God's kind than Adam was. Adam was created by God. He was not born of God. If he had eaten the fruit from the tree of life, receiving the divine life, he would have been born of God. What a wonderful person that would have been. No sin. Just a human being born of God, becoming a child of God in life and nature with no sin. The way to that tree had been open. But we all know what happened. And then the way to the tree was closed until Christ died for our redemption. And so we should not kind of dream about, oh, I would like to be like Adam. And even some theologians teach that to be redeemed and regenerated is to be recovered to the state of Adam's existence when he was created. That is absolutely erroneous. We are another species now, God's species. Now, this little points, A, Adam had only the outward appearance of God without the inward reality, the divine life. This outward appearance. No inward reality. A sinless human life, yes, but no divine life. B, we the believers in Christ and the children of God have the reality of the divine life. What a blessing. Right now, as I'm speaking this, as you are seeing and hearing this, we can rejoice inwardly. We have the reality of the divine life. And this divine life is very active in an organic way. And we are being transformed and conformed to the Lord's image in our entire being. This is what takes place in the realm of the divine species, the kingdom of God as this realm. And we will see from another angle in message 4 that a genuine local church, according to the practice in the New Testament, is the kingdom of God in practicality. And all those that are in the church life, they've been born of God, born of water and of the Spirit. They have entered into the realm of the divine species. So let's consider the church life corporately as the realm of the divine species. We know from Revelation 1, the Lord is speaking to the churches. And John testifies concerning Christ in chapter 1. He made us a kingdom. And even stronger in chapter 5, from people all over the earth, he has made us a kingdom. And John is speaking to the churches, indicating the churches are the kingdom. And I'm trying to emphasize here that we need to have a new view of the church life. A local church is a miniature of the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine species. And everyone here is of the same species. But it's like a family also, and those that are young, they can see and respect saints that are not only older humanly, but are more mature spiritually. They have been being transformed. The Lord is expressed through their soul more and more. And they'll be conformed to the image of God. It's just normal in a family if there can be 3, sometimes 4 generations. I know one brother and sister, they're still in their 70s. They're the parents. They have sons and daughters. They have grandchildren. And they have great-grandchildren. All in one family. No one feels troubled. I'm a little great-grandchild. Someone is a young adult grandchild. Someone is now advanced in middle age as child, son or daughter. And then the parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents are in another realm, another level. This is normal. It's a picture of the church life. And it motivates us to experience the Lord day by day and pray for the growth in life. See, our second birth, regeneration, caused us to enter into the kingdom of God to become the species of God. I sincerely believe, along with you, that the Lord throughout the continent of Europe and the UK, he has many more chosen ones. They were chosen in eternity past to be holy. And the gospel must reach them so God can call them. So even this year, may more Europeans in various countries be born of God and become the species of God and be welcomed into the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine species. In the church life, in a local church, the church in Amsterdam, that's the kingdom of God in practicality. That is the local expression of the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine species. May the Lord add more to the church there and to all the churches. D, all the children of God are in the divine realm of the divine species. All the children of God are in this realm. But sadly, only God knows how many children of God are living on the earth right now. Surely many millions, right? Many millions. They have been born of God. They are a child of God. But only a tiny fragment, way less than 1%, know where they are. Many have been taught, well, you're just on the earth, but you're heaven bound. That will be your realm. You were saved for heaven. We were saved and regenerated for the kingdom of God, to fulfill God's purpose. And may the Father of glory give a spirit of wisdom and revelation to so many dear believers throughout the earth, wherever they are. They may be in the Roman Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, even some in the state churches, the denominations. May the Lord enlighten them to show where they are. They're in the divine realm of the divine species. E, the children, the believers are God-men in the divine species, that is, in the kingdom of God. I'm sure that surely this is the case in the UK, it may be in many other European countries. The days of simplicity are past concerning gender, male and female. Now there's this demonic false teaching that, no, that isn't really true. No matter how we're born physically, you can be what you want. And you can be many things. And now in some places, especially in universities in the United States, the students are instructed and demanded to use the right pronouns. We're talking to what seems to be a young man. He said, no, I'm a she. Call me she. And a woman may be the same. Call me he. And someone else says, I'm both plus. Call me they. Well, probably this will never happen. But if I'm in that situation, and I really want to care for this person, I want to respect them as a person, how shall I address you? You know, what is the gender that you think you are? What should I say? Then I wish there could be one time when I would say, okay, now you need to know my gender. I am God-man, God-man. I am a son of God. And so you ask me to respect what you consider your gender, no matter how you look, no matter what kind of body you have, this is how you view yourself, and I respect you. I do. And now I'd like you to do the same to me. I've been born of God. God is my Father. I have His life and nature. I'm a child of God. I testify to you this. And I've been growing to be a son of God. We are God-men. We're a divine species. But only when the sons of God have been manifested in glory will this be designated, and it will be manifested. Now we have a long section, but I'll mainly read it. Otherwise, we would need 3 other messages at least. And all these verses, from A all the way to Y, verses from the Gospel of John, to help us to realize what is here, the kind of experience and enjoyment we can have living in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine species. In the Gospel of John, we see many aspects of the believers living in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine species. So John was living in this realm when he wrote about this realm. He certainly was a pattern of a God-man living in the realm of the divine species. And all that he mentions, all that he writes, are rooted in the reality that he has experienced, that he has become. So let's go through them now for the next 20 minutes or so. John 1:16, of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. We're told in the following verse, grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. Now we partake of the fullness, the overflow of the unsearchable riches of God, of Christ. And we receive grace upon grace, like one wave after another. And this grace is not merely unmerited favor that the Calvinists stress only. It's God Himself in Christ coming to us for our enjoyment. So those who live in this realm receive grace upon grace, the triune God as their supply and their enjoyment. B, He breathed into them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So in this realm, we don't just need upward oxygen. We breathe in the Spirit. The all-inclusive Christ has been processed in resurrection to be the holy breath, the pneuma, the Spirit. And we just inhale Him. So simple. See, the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. So here there is the living water. And when we drink of the living water by calling on the Lord's name, this water given to us by the Lord becomes in us a fountain, a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. And at least some of us can testify of this. There have just been times when you're contacting the Lord and you're drinking of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:13. We're drinking. And now the spiritual water we're drinking becomes a fountain. Whoa, what is this? I just drank some. No, a fountain is springing up and it's flowing. This is an experience in the realm of the divine species. D, the Lord is referring to himself as the bread of life. He also calls this bread the living bread, the true bread, the heavenly bread, the bread of God. He says, he who eats me shall also live because of me. So here in this realm, we feed on the bread of life, and then effortlessly, we live because of him. We don't have to try. After you have a healthy meal, you don't like try to live a human life. You are supplied to live a human life. E, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. My peace I give to you. He said, not as the world gives, but I give. And this realm is peace. We have peace. The Lord is our peace. Recently, in having fellowship with saints, especially through a text or an email, but also in fellowship, I just spontaneously shared with them, may the God of peace guard your heart, thoughts, your heart and thoughts in Christ Jesus. Here you are in this situation. It's not easy, to say the least. May the God of peace guard your heart and your thoughts. So we have such peace here. This is an outstanding characteristic of the realm of the divine species. F, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So in this realm of the divine species, we realize more and more how the Lord loves us. He loves us. And he wants us to abide in his love. Not simply have brief experiences, but to live in his love, to dwell in it. Isn't this wonderful? To be in a realm like this where more and more our brothers and sisters are abiding in the Lord's love for us, surely we will love one another without bias, with the same love. G, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Now we have joy, my joy. The Lord wants his joy to be in you. My joy may be in you. And the Lord is very much burdened that our joy may be made full. And here it's corporate. And I have to testify, I'm longing for this. I don't know if I've ever really experienced this, that the Lord's joy becomes our joy corporately, made full in the whole church. Let's just say the church in Berlin. That the Lord's joy is in them, no matter what the circumstances are. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It's in them. And their joy corporately is made full. What a testimony that would be to the whole earth. H. He who does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be manifested, that they are wrought in God. So here we practice the truth, not just know the truth, do the truth. And we come gladly, willingly to the light. And then the light will prove and manifest it that these works were wrought in God. There's no need to vindicate, to defend ourselves. No. We're doing the truth. We come to the light, which is God. And the light will manifest the source of these works, the means of God. I, he who loves his soul life loses it. And he who hates his soul life in the world shall keep it unto eternal life. This is John 12:25. We know in verse 24 he said, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Then he says in verse 25, if anyone serves me, and now, I'm bringing in verse 26. Let me read J together along with I. He who loves his soul life loses it. He who hates his soul life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. That's verse 25. Then in verse 26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also my servant will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So in this realm of the divine species, we are willing, gladly willing, to lose our soul life, even to hate our soul life, the fallen life in the world. We're not here to have psychological joy all the time, just in the flesh and in ourself, in the natural life. We are willing to pay the cost to follow the Lamb wherever he may go, to take up our cross and follow the Lord. And if necessary, we're willing to lose our soul life, this kind of pleasure and enjoyment, for the Lord's sake. And we know from verse 25 that we will preserve it in the sense that when the Lord comes back, our soul will not be suffering anymore, but will enter into the joy of the Lord expressed through our transformed soul. And now we follow him. But according to the context, follow him how? Well, he was a grain who fell into the ground and died. Now we're one of the many grains. If we follow him, that means we are willing to fall into the ground and die to release the divine life from within us that others may be supplied. And I believe that there are a number of brothers and sisters They left their country, whether it was Taiwan or the United States. They went to another part of the earth. And yes, outwardly, there's much work to be done in practical service and shepherding and gospel preaching and church meetings and distributing the truth. But at least some, like Sister Emmy Barber in China, really, the work didn't matter much. She fell into the ground and died, and fruit was born, including Watchman Nee, our brother. So we follow him in that way and be where he is now in resurrection, and the Father will honor him. That's just beyond my capacity to imagine. To be honored by God our Father. But this is coming. Surely we want to be among those. And the Lord would say, I testify the name of this one before God and the angels. And the Father himself honors him because you followed my Son. He was a grain, you are a grain. You fell into the ground and died. And no one knew what you were experiencing deep within, but I knew. I knew the price you paid. And I know what flowed out. And now I honor you openly. Okay, an hour is coming, and it is now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truthfulness. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truthfulness. Finally, in this realm, the Father has the worshipers. He's been seeking and longing for hundreds and hundreds of years. And this applies to the Lord's table meeting. Please allow me to say, if you hear message 7 from the Itero, once it's released, there's a portion there about our coming to the Lord's table meeting to remember the Lord with the riches of Christ, and to worship the Father with the best portion of Christ. There's a great need for this, but the hour is coming, and surely we want to be among those who satisfy and bring joy to the Father because we're true worshipers. We worship him in spirit and truthfulness. El, abide in me, and I in you. This is another aspect of living in the realm of the divine species, that we are living in Christ. We abide in him, and he abides in us. Just what a church life. Let's just say that everyone, according to their capacity, was abiding in the Lord, and the Lord abiding in them. What a church life. But that's the kingdom, the realm of the divine species. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. So this is our prayer. Instead of just composing something in our mind, or uttering something based upon our feelings. We are abiding in the Lord. His words abide in us, and his words make known to us what's on his heart for prayer. And that becomes our burden, and we release it in prayer, and it's done. And love one another, even as I have loved you. Love one another. No exception. But we don't love in our natural life or natural affection, even as he loved us. This is a characteristic, an aspect of the realm of the divine species. Oh, if I then, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Well, this is not referring to literal physical foot washing, although sometimes that has occurred. It's a spiritual matter of washing one another, to wash away the dust of the earth by the flowing of the Spirit. So we're all renewed in our fellowship with the Lord and with one another. P, feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. This is a realm of shepherding. Feed my lambs. Dear ones, are you feeding any lambs? More mature ones, leading ones, shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. In this realm, we are all sheep and we're all shepherds. We nourish one another. Q, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. God chose us. He put us in the vine. And now, as we abide, we should bear fruit. That is, bring others to salvation and regeneration by the life flowing out of us as branches in the vine into them. R. Martha served. Mary took a pound of ointment of very valuable pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. On the one hand, we have Martha, so capable in her natural ability, but now she's in resurrection serving. Then we have Mary, just pouring out her inner being on the Lord. So in the church life, we serve. And from time to time, we break the alabaster flask to pour out the most precious aspect of Christ wrought into us. We pour it out on the Lord. S. In my Father's house are many abodes. I go to prepare a place for you. I believe we all know now the Father's house is not heaven. It is the church. The Lord, through death and resurrection, prepared a place for us. And many of us can testify when we came into the church life in the Lord's recovery, we had this sense, I'm home. I'm home. And then eventually we sense our place prepared for us. Here we are. We're all at home. We're in the Father's house, in our abode prepared for us. T, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. What a profound revelation this is. You will know, not just believe, not just think, not just hope. You will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me. That means you are in the Father by being in me, because I am in the Father, and I in you. This is coherence. This is mutual indwelling. The Lord's in the Father, the Father's in him. We are in the Lord, so therefore we are in the Father, in the Lord. And the Lord is in us, and the Father is in the Son, who is in us, and the Son in resurrection is the Spirit. This is mutual indwelling. You, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make an abode with him. So the more we love the Lord, the more we keep the word, the living word, based upon the written word that he's speaking in us, we obey that, we do that, and what happens? The Father loves us. And the Father and the Son come to us, not for a visit, but to make an abode with us, to have a dwelling place. It's like they're saying, we are here now. You have an abode in us. Now we're making an abode in you because you love us and obey. V, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given to me, that they may be one, even as we are one. It's a realm of oneness. The kingdom of God, as the realm of the divine species, is altogether, absolutely, a realm of oneness. No division here of any kind. Just the oneness eventually being perfected to be one in the divine glory. W. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the highest degree of oneness. Glory is God expressed. To be one in the Lord's glory means we are one in the expression of God in Christ. And this means also there's no more self-expression. There's no self. No one expresses the self when they pray. No one is expressing the self when they're speaking. The self has been dealt with. We're saturated with the divine glory. It permeates us, and now it's shining through us. And in this glory, we are one, even as the Father and Son are one. X, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected into one. So this process of being perfected into one is taking place. So we can say, yes, we are one, but also we are being perfected into one. And now the last point. Why? Father, concerning that which you have given me, I desire that they also may be where I am, that they may behold my glory. So the Father gave us to the Son. And now the Son is praying, I desire, I desire. This is from his heart. That they also may be with me where I am. And where is he? In the Father. In the Holy of Holies. That they may behold my glory. To me, what a beautiful way to end the message. That we all behold his glory. We've been experiencing 2 Corinthians 3:18, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Now we are one in the divine glory. And by being in the Son, we are with him where he is, in the Father. And the Father is glorified in the Son. And now we behold his glory. What a wonderful experience in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine species. No wonder Paul would say at the end of Ephesians 3, unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. What a way to live when we come together and in oneness we behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, this is living in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine species. Let us all learn together and also personally to live in this realm more and more until we are perfected in oneness in the divine glory and have the uttermost joy of beholding the glory of the Lord. Unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Amen.